from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly series exploring Northern California's science and environment. This week, voters on both sides of a contentious measure set for California's June ballot will take the stage in a public hearing in San Francisco. Proposition 16 has to do with how electricity will be delivered to our homes and by whom. The issue is shaping up to be an epic showdown between local nonprofit groups and the utility giant PG&E. Amy Standen has more.
When opponents of Proposition 16 got together for a meeting a few weeks ago, it didn't sound like a sober debate over utility policy. It sounded like a revival meeting.
And let me tell you something. Not since the Reagan administration have we seen an offensive like this.
This is Ross Mirkarimi, a member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors.
Prop 16 is that final cross to bear.
Bravo,
and if we allow any of this...
Before we get into why Proposition 16 inspires so much passion, first, here's what it would do. Imagine a big pool of electricity. Some of it comes from natural gas plants. Some comes from coal-fired plants out of state. Some of it comes from renewable sources like wind turbines and solar panels. Now, between this big pool of electricity and your house is a middleman, a broker. In most of Northern California, that middleman is a multi-billion dollar corporation called Pacific Gas and Electric. It takes electricity out of the pool, delivers it to your house, and sends you the bill. But Charles McGlashan thinks he, or rather the Marin Energy Authority, the group he chairs, can do a better, greener job.
We know that we can double the renewable power. We can offer deep green, 100% renewable power for pennies.
Starting in May, customers in eight cities and towns in Marin County will be able to choose between PG&E and the Marin Energy Authority, a nonprofit public agency based in San Rafael. The transmission lines won't change and customers' bills will look the same. But Marin Energy Authority says it'll deliver greener energy at or below PG&E prices.
And the reason we can do that is we don't pay corporate profits. We don't pay a CEO $9.5 million a year, and we don't have to pay taxes.
Meanwhile, another local group, Clean Power San Francisco, is making similar promises. So can these community-run nonprofits do a better job than a massive power company founded a century ago? Well, there's some debate about that. Here's Severin Bornstein, an economist at the University of California, Berkeley.
The fact is that green power still costs more than conventional power. So it's very unlikely that they're going to be able to buy more green power and at the same time have lower costs.
But Proposition 16 doesn't really address this debate directly. What it does is make it harder for groups like the Marin Energy Authority to come into being at all.
Now I can hear you. Okay, I could hear you both times.
Meet Greg Larson. He's a spokesman for the PG&E-funded Yes on 16 campaign, also known as
Californians to Protect Our Right to Vote.
If Proposition 16 passes, public power proposals like the ones in Marin and San Francisco would have to face a county-wide election and pass by a two-thirds majority.
We're not saying don't do it. We're not saying any approach is better than another. All we are saying is if you want to go forward to do this, have the people vote on it.
It makes it almost impossible.
That's Mindy Spatt of the Utilities Reform Network, or TURN, a consumer advocacy group in San Francisco, which opposes Prop 16. She says you only have to look at California legislature to see how a two-thirds majority can hamstring government.
Obviously raises the bar an already unequal playing field.
And that unequal playing field, that is what really gets Spatt and others fired up about Prop 16.
What we see with Prop 16 is a classic case of a special interest ballot initiative that is on the ballot because of nothing except money.
If Prop 16 fails, PG&E will likely lose customers to groups like the Marin Energy Authority. So the stakes are high. So far, PG&E has spent $15.5 million to promote Prop 16. But what really bothers Mindy Spatt is where that money comes from, monthly energy bills of its 5 million customers.
This money comes directly out of ratepayers' pockets. PG&E doesn't have any other source for this money than ratepayers.
But it's not quite that simple. Here again is Greg Larson with Yes on 16.
PG&E uses shareholder dollars to pay for its contribution to this campaign.
In other words, he says, PG&E is cutting into its profits, just like any other company contributing to a political campaign. Last month, PG&E told its shareholders that it will spend up to $35 million on Prop 16. The other side, the No on 16 camp, has spent just over $22,000, almost all of it from TURN, the 15-person advocacy group that Mindy Spat works for. She says they're almost tapped out.
It's nickels and dimes at this point. People is what we have, and money is what PG&E has.
Compounding the No Camps problem is the fact that many of those who would be affected by Proposition 16 can't legally campaign against it. That's because, unlike Greg Larson, they are government employees. Whatever the outcome in June, Marin Energy Authority will move ahead with its project, which has already been approved. The question is whether anyone else will follow suit. For Quest, I'm Amy Standen, KQED Radio News.
See how much money has been donated to both sides of the Proposition 16 campaign on our website, kqed.org/quest.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation, with additional support from the Videz Family Foundation.